Europe takes the next step.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson, in for Steve Chiatakis. Stock markets in Europe are rallying this morning after a little scare yesterday. There were reports that China was questioning its appetite for European debt. The Chinese are denying that now. Meanwhile, in Spain, lawmakers are debating some big budget cuts today. And Marketplace's Stephen Beard, who's been following all of this for us from London, joins us now live. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, what is on the chopping block there in Madrid?
The Spaniards are planning to cut around $19 billion worth of public spending over 2 years. That's quite a chunk of change for Spain. Government ministers will take a 15% pay cut. State pensions will be frozen. This is a big turnaround for the socialist government in Madrid, a major reversal designed to bring the Spanish budget deficit down.
And Spain is not the only European country trying to bring its budget deficit down. We've had, obviously, Greece. And now I hear Italy's in the mix, too.
Yes, last night, Silvio Berlusconi's cabinet in Rome signed off on a similar series of budget cuts. This is all part of a European drive to convince investors that after months of drift and disarray, the Eurozone is getting its debt problem under control. Is it going to work? Well, it's not entirely clear at the moment. Some analysts have their doubts. Graham Mather is with the European Policy Forum.
The risk is that the confusion amongst the Eurozone members and the lack of German leadership will continue to persuade the markets that there's a big risk of default and that the Eurozone will continue to have a very fragile currency.
But if any of those Eurozone countries begin to waver in their resolve to cut, they do have US Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner on hand to help on his trip here. He's urging them to get their public finances in order.
Okay, Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London for us. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Markets in Europe are up more than 2% at this hour. Asian markets closed about 1.25% higher. Wall Street, after a pretty good day, lost some ground at the end of the session. The Dow closed down 69 points at 99.74. That is the lowest close since early February. Well, we're still waiting to hear whether that top kill procedure to plug the Gulf oil leak is working. BP is not reporting any problems so far. For the oil that's already leaked, BP has been buying a lot of chemical dispersants to break it up. But as Chicago Public Radio's Tony Arnold reports, the spill may not be such a good thing for the producers of dispersants in the long run.
Chemical maker Nalco is based in suburban Chicago. Among its products is CoreExit, the dispersant at the center of controversy in the Gulf oil spill. Nalco sold its entire supply of CoreExit to BP, all 10,000 gallons. That's just a drop in the bucket of all the CoreExit used in the Gulf so far. The Environmental Protection Agency worries the chemical is toxic. BP says there's no readily available alternative. Charlie Pager is a spokesman with Nalco. He says the company is ramping up production to make more CoreExit.
We feel we have a safe and effective product that has a long history of proven real-world use.
But Dan Rohr, an analyst with Morningstar, says government regulations could soon be coming down the pipeline that might restrict oil drilling in the Gulf, and that in turn could cut down on demand for oil-busting chemicals like CoreExit.
The bigger long-term effect is what this does to drilling activity, deep water production in the Gulf.
Nalco's Pajor says CoreExit accounts for only a small percentage of the company's sales. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold from Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
There are a lot of villains in this recession. Bankers, predatory lenders, Bernie Madoff. Well, tomorrow we can forget all those complicated villains and just focus on the brain-eating dead. It's the release of George Romero's latest zombie thriller, Survival of the Dead. Zombie lover Jim Kendrick is an assistant professor of film at Baylor University, and he joins us now. Mr. Kendrick, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, how unusual is a big zombie movie like Survival of the Dead?
As far as size goes, you know, zombie movies have not tended to be big mainstream films. In the history of zombie movies, they generally tend to be more smaller budget. You don't need a whole lot of special effects.
Is there something about a horror or a zombie movie that that people are drawn to in times like this because maybe there's an easy to identify villain?
In some ways, yes. Interestingly, because zombies are fairly unchanging, mm-hmm. and in a lot of ways they're really not very interesting, a lot of zombie movies have actually been more interesting on a kind of metaphorical level. What are they telling us about the times we're living in? And George A. Romero's zombie movies have been particularly interesting in that realm since the first one that he made, Night of the Living Dead, came out in 1968. You know, which was the height of the 60s and all of the social turbulence and the civil rights era, Vietnam and all of that. And the movie was very much a reflection of that. I'm guessing that Survival of the Dead may be along those lines as well.
You know, all of us living people are trying to get through these very difficult recessionary times. Do you think a zombie would do better
during the recession?
Yeah. Are they good with money?
That's the beauty of being a zombie is economics are completely irrelevant. All they need is to eat people.
All right. Well, Jim Kendrick, assistant professor of film at Baylor University and zombie expert, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, get used to the name Grayson Chance. That's the 12-year-old boy from Oklahoma who became a YouTube sensation 2 weeks ago after posting his performance of Lady Gaga's hit song Paparazzi. He now has a record deal courtesy of Ellen DeGeneres, who's starting her own record label. He's also snagged two managers, one who handles Madonna, the other handles Lady Gaga herself. This kid's not messing around. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.